Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
These are the words of Congressman George Rodanovich this morning. What has America come to when a 13-year-old student must be concerned for his safety when he waves the American flag? This past week, Denair Middle School, located in my home district, asked one of their students, Cody, how do I say your last name? Alicia, to remove an American flag he had been proudly displaying on the back of his bicycle for 2 months. Cody and his family were told that the flag needed to be removed for his own safety in light of problems that arose during the previous school year when students carrying the Mexican flag to school on Cinco de Mayo. Thankfully, on November 12th, the school district reversed the decision and has informed Cody that he can once again display his flag. I am pleased that the Denair Unified School District has made the correct decision and is once again allowing Cody to display his flag. However, I am deeply concerned about the circumstances that led to Cody being asked to remove his flag in the first place and want to make every member of the House aware of it. I raise this issue on the floor of the House because I believe what happened to Cody gives us a snapshot of our current national culture. The flag of the United States of America is a symbol of everything that this country stands for. Unity, prosperity, and freedom. Every morning in classrooms across America, students of all ages and nationalities pledge their allegiance to the flag and to this country. For an American student to ever be told that displaying the American flag in America makes him a target for violence is a travesty and a terrible testament to what is happening in our country. I am proud of Cody for choosing to display his patriotism, his respect for the men and women who have fought and died for this country, and his love of this country. I am proud to represent this community, which has displayed such overwhelmingly positive support for Cody. I especially want to thank the Patriot Guard Riders, the American Legion Fallen Riders, for escorting Cody here today, and everyone else who has chosen to walk and ride here this morning and to display their pride in the American flag and the ideals it represents. I hope many more people will be inspired by Cody's example and will choose to fly the flag more often.
And that is from Fox News, Fox 40. There's a link to that on our page. And good Friday morning. I'm Robin.
I'm Cliff, and how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And I gotta tell you that every time that I look at this clip and doing some research and found some other issues, which I'm going to get into in a few minutes here in the show, it just got my blood boiling. I mean, it just...
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we are out of control. Our educational system is out of control. They decide to have the educational system as a whole, and they've obviously done this individually, each school system and each district, each city or state, have decided that they're going to control the kids' every move and every action, and through that, control the adults' every move and every action. And we've got to do something to stop this. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And here's the thing. I'm sorry, but telling the Congress about it is a real total faux pas. What are they going to do?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's got to be done at the local level. I mean, people got to stand up and just say, enough already. I mean, just... Well, when you think about the programming that is done to kids when they're in school. Like, for example, Ashland, I think so far is the only school in Oregon that's doing this, to my knowledge at least, where they're forcing kids to learn Spanish from grades 1 through 12.
Yeah.
They're not giving them a choice. They're indoctrinating them into Spanish, and nothing against, you know, Spanish or learning a foreign language, but I don't want my child to be forced to learn one particular language. But what it's doing is indoctrinating them into this, what they're calling on the major networks, the new Americans.
The new Americans?
Yeah. And the other thing I get a little bit tired of, too, is because I've asked the question on this show and on the blog, is why are we kissing the Hispanic butt? I mean, like, they're so concerned during this last election, for example, we're so worried about the Hispanic vote. I never hear them say that we're so worried about the American vote.
Well, because they know they're going to get the American vote.
Do they?
But, well, sure.
Brad's done a little bit differently this time.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that nobody got it. That just means the Democrats didn't get it.
Yeah.
And with the Spanish vote, there's a possibility of nobody getting it. So it means a new pool of voters for them. That's why we hear so much about it. But,
exactly. And in Oregon, you don't even have to be a citizen to vote in the local elections.
Oh, I know. This voting, I mean, you're going to make me mad. Because this voting crap. The other thing is anything that comes along, they want a special election.
Yeah.
Well, damn it, have one a year, and save them. But you don't have one in May and one in August and then in November and because it does cost money, folks, to do an election. It may not cost as much here as it does some places, but it still costs money. Somebody has to pay for these damn voting pamphlets that
in three different languages or whatever.
Yeah.
And then one of my pet peeves is like when we called a special session in our legislature in Oregon, and it was supposed to be an emergency session.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't talk about jobs. The only thing they accomplished was they voted on making the Dungeness crab the state crab. They call a special session for that.
And it shouldn't be Dungeness. It should be the crab that walks sideways or something, whatever.
I think they all walk sideways.
I think they do too. But whatever. I mean, you're, you know, and at one time I sat back and I said, well, it's okay because it doesn't cost anything to do that. But yes, it does. They actually go into session and they vote on it, and they do spend a lot of money declaring these things. If it was just a matter of somebody walking up there and saying, can we do this, and nobody objects, and then do it. But no, they go through the whole official thing, and you can't do that without costing money. And so there's no possible reason for that. We've got an official Oregon everything.
That's right, and I'm sure that there is some type of special group or whatever that I feel that we should elect the Dungeness crab as our state crab.
Well, I object, Your Honor.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I feel that the Dungeness Society, I don't know. But,
well,
it's crazy. It's no wonder why, like in a recent poll, for example, I mean, to give you an idea of how bad off Oregon is, or I think it was a CNN poll, but don't quote me on that, where Oregon is number 3 as far as being considered the people most starving or most concerned about going without food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
But Oregon's hurting, and it just floors me because, I mean, this has been my home most of my life.
Yeah.
And we used to be known for coming up with some really good ideas, and I'm sorry. I'm really disappointed in my state.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I agree with you there, and some of these things. But the thing is, I just can't believe that we have nothing else better to do than worry about
the
Dungeness crab.
Speaking of something better to do, because got a little bit to cover here today. 646-721-9887.
Oh, yes.
We'd love to have you call in and...
Please call in. Please call in and yell at us or disagree with us or agree with us. I don't care.
Or share your angry about the topic today.
Yeah. There's lots to be angry here about.
Absolutely. And what more I've got to...
By the way, before you go to the next object, I've got an answer to this Dungeness Crab thing.
Okay.
We can go ahead and make Dungeness Crab our state crab. But what we do is, instead of doing it the way we're doing it, let's open it up and let the different crab place people send in money. And whoever sends in most money, that's the state crab.
There you go.
And that do that for absolutely everything that needs to be done. Let the public or the businesses or whoever, the industry, pay for it. Then we can have a state crab and have money in the coffers as well.
The state crab was pushed by the Culinary Society of Oregon. No. Actually, what the deal was on that is that it was actually a school project that a teacher put together to show the kids how the legislature's things work. So they came up with the idea, got it submitted to the legislature, got to be on the floor when they voted on it. And,
That is kind of neat.
Yeah, it is kind of neat, and it's a good educational thing. But, again, during special session, which they're supposed to kind of take serious because it was called because of our economy, except for the fact it's a good learning experience for the kids. It's just, what did it cost us, and what did we accomplish during that session?
Right, right. All of these special sessions and special elections need to end, all of them.
Right. I think we should call a special session to vote on whether or not you should use your little pinky to pick your nose.
Oh, well, no, can't do that because I do.
Oh.
Absolutely. But, okay, yeah, but it's just very upsetting. So many things. And how many elections? I don't have an answer to this, but it just brings up the question. How many elections did we have last year? Special elections and regular elections and so on and so forth. And there was no need to have more than one.
No.
And there's just nothing that is that important. I don't care if, for example, our mayor in Cottage Grove decides he wants to resign and we don't have a mayor and he resigns in March or May or something like that. And so we don't have a mayor and technically until November. Well, we can put in one pro tem or something like that. I mean, that doesn't have to make it legal.
That's like Nick Wilson for mayor.
No. Actually, never mind. Okay. Well, people have asked me. But
you're the voice of Cottage Grove.
But I'm not going to be that, believe me.
According to the Cottage Grove newspaper, folks, that's what that all is about. They put him... A couple years back when he was back on KNND Radio Cottage Grove as being the voice of Cottage Grove. And since Cliff and I are friends, I've teased him about that ever since, and he wished I would stop doing that.
But I've...
No, a celebrity.
I've talked to the mayor, and I know the mayor, and I know how much he works and how much he doesn't get, and I want nothing to do with it. It's just way too much work for me. I'm too lazy for that.
Well,
I noticed you didn't have anything to say.
Yeah. Speaking of lazy, again, 646-721-9887. Chat room's open, and of course you can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And by the way, folks, we are finally on Facebook.
Oh yeah.
I still don't know. In fact, all I kept saying during the 4 days it took me to set that stupid thing up. If it wasn't for the fact that they lucked out, and I mean lucked out, and got popular, all I kept saying is, why am I wasting my time doing this? Because their help files are really bad. It took surfing the internet and getting third-party applications to be able to import our shows and get it set up the way I wanted it to do.
Well, you know,
unfortunately, I didn't have a 9-year-old to kind of help me. So
yeah, that was your problem. You're more over nine.
Yeah, I am kind of over nine by many times over.
I wasn't going to go into that, but still, I was trying to be nice. Not hard, but a little bit.
All right. Well, anyways, let me get into to the What the Heck Are They Thinking award, and because I think it's a good one to get into our main segment here, because the time is clicking fast.
It is. 16.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, today I also get to multitask while I read the script here, and so we'll see how well this dyslexic does. today there are several recipients of the What the Heck Are They Thinking award. Even though the names are different, the situation and themes are pretty much the same. Now, to start with, Tanya Hathaway, age 13, was criticized by her teacher in Santa Rita School District in California, who said that the drawing that she was drawing was offensive because it was a drawing of the American flag with the statement, "God bless America," inscribed on it. While at the same time, another student was praised for drawing a picture of President Obama. During an interview on Fox and Friends on June 10th, 2010, Tanya was asked why she drew the flag.
Because I felt like I have my freedom of speech, so I just drew whatever I wanted to, and I decided to draw the American flag.
The principal later apologized for the incident, and the teacher still has not yet explained what it was in particular that offended her. And that go ahead.
I was just going to say, we need to dig into this business, because I don't know if it's because we're trying to be politically correct, but if we were trying to be politically correct, then they would have congratulated her for drawing the flag. And so it can't be correctness. We've got to have some problem going on in our schools, because this is happening more and more often.
Exactly. And
there are schools now, a lot of schools now, where they don't pledge allegiance to the flag in the morning.
Yep.
And on most, there's a whole lot of schools where they pledge allegiance to the flag and leave out "under God" now. And this is just getting crazy.
Oh, I agree. And in fact, at the beginning of some meetings, public meetings, they don't get into the Pledge of Allegiance. And more, now I got to give, from time to time, people do things that just make me proud. There was this one, I can't remember what the meeting was. It was a public, city council meeting or something. And one of the people in the audience asked the moderator, are we going to start off the meeting with a Pledge of Allegiance? And she said, no, it's not in the schedule.
Really?
And he says, well, we'd like to do it. And says, she says, well, I don't have any opinion either way or other on the, on doing the pledge, but it's just not in the schedule. We're not going to do it. And the audience stood up and did it anyways.
Right. Great.
Yeah.
Great. I can't believe people don't understand that we do things like that. I mean, there is an allegiance to our country. It's not really an allegiance to the flag, folks. It's to the country. The flag is just a symbol. But to just totally ignore it entirely, it's just insane. Now, I personally get somewhat offended. Well, I will have to admit I was offended both times. I was offended when they put the words "under God" in there, and now I'm offended that they're taking it out.
Yeah.
So make up your mind. But still, there's no reason for that. Just not.
I call it a lie. But anyway,
yeah.
Let me lead into the second half
of
the award here, and this is Fox 40 broke the story, and it became basically a national event, which kind of goes along with the clip that I played in the beginning of our segment here. But the second award goes out to the Donner Unified School District in California, which drew national attention when Cody Alicia, 13, was asked to remove the American flag that he had been displaying on the back of his bike for several months. Superintendent Edward Parzaz was asked by Fox 40 News correspondent Lisa Harrington why Cody was asked to take down the flag by the school's principal.
We was based on some information that she heard about the students complaining, some racial tensions, and basically some concern about his safety. So, and of course, any type of disruption that may have occurred. So he was asked to take it down at that time.
Later in the interview, Prezass was asked, how can something like flying the American flag cause racial tensions?
I think, you know, it kind of goes back to this whole thing that we had a little issue with Cinco de Mayo. That's when it all kind of started, and I think it just kind of carried through.
There are a couple of examples that are cropping up throughout the nation where people are vocalizing about being offended by Americans showing patriotism for our own country. But Cody's father, I think, basically said it best.
I think we needed a great awakening. I mean, the sleeping bear has been awoken, and he's here to eat. He wants what he wants, and we want our flag up, whether it be here or at the school or anywhere else.
I can't believe it, you know, that people...
Well, it gets very offensive, and there's no reason for it. In the first place, there's no reason not to let the Mexican flag fly for Cinco de Mayo. There's nothing wrong with that if they want their kids wanted to do that. How can any flag, I mean, if it's on your body or on your bicycle or carrying it in your back pocket or whatever, that cannot be disrupting. It cannot be. Only if other students or the faculty get upset about it. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous to get upset about something like that.
Yeah, but if somebody went ahead, and I think this is one thing that just kind of gets smoke coming out of my ears. You know, like Cinco de Mayo, you know, it's okay. Go ahead and display the Mexican flag. But just like with Christmas, when it comes down to, you know, we go ahead and we let Hanukkah, we let all these other religions and stuff go. But when it comes down to like Christmas or the American flag or whatever, just like on a side note here, the current thing that's going on with the TSA, which is another show entirely, they're thinking about, and if they do this, I bet you there'll be a riot, of excluding Muslim women in the traditional garb of being searched.
Okay, every woman in the country just became Muslim.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
You know, but again, it's one of those things, again, where, oh, well, we have to suffer. We have to give in. We have to, people accuse us of being offended because, but yet we show exceptions for everybody else. And
yes. Just,
but when it comes down to this issue here, like Cody flying the flag, well, one thing that I was very, very proud of is when Cody's father brought this up to Fox 40 and it made national attention, there were people that came from all over the country and they had like a little parade.
Escorted him to school.
Escorted him to school. And the speech was at the beginning of the show here. And again, I got links to all this on our main show page if people want to go in and read the full story for themselves.
Well, I think people better start waking up because this thing with the airports and being frisked, I think that's going to come to a real screeching head because people in America don't like this. I mean, they don't like it even a little bit. A whole bunch of people don't like it a little bit. And I'm hearing things happening in the Congress and in the House. And people are talking about it, making speeches about it. And I see the first place, from what I hear, and I don't have confirmation of this, but from what I hear, none of these problems have ever left from the United States. In other words, the guy with the explosive shorts or the guy with the shoes or any of the bombs, none of those have come out of the United States. They've all come into the United States from somewhere else. So to put our citizens through so much torture and so much ridiculousness is just insane. We aren't helping us. We aren't protecting us. We're just turning the government into a bunch of hoodlums and pornographers. And it's like they said, one guy said, if I was to do that to another person just standing out there in the airport, he says, I would be arrested and fined and put in jail. Because he says this, but now the government can get away with it. And there's a lot of things now that the government is getting away with, and that's the problem we have. We're not becoming a socialist country. We're becoming a dictatorship.
Well, and the terrorists have won. And the thing I have to throw out there is, even though this is all pretty much along the same line, so to speak, okay, you got the machine that it doesn't go through your skin, per se, the scanner. And if you decide to opt out, you know, then they get to do the personal touch, you know, fly, really get to fly the friendly skies. But okay, what's next?
What can be next?
Cavity.
Well, that's.
Or some people are saying that you can save money on your next physical exam and go to the airport.
But they aren't examining for anything worthwhile. That's the problem.
Not yet.
Only if your latest disease is well, never mind. That's bad. I'm not even going to do that on.
Exactly.
Internet radio.
But yeah, but the whole thing is, I mean, like even getting back to Cody and the flag and stuff, the school was afraid for Cody's safety because people were threatening him and harassing him because he was displaying the American flag on the back of his bicycle.
Well, yeah, I can understand that, and I can understand them having a problem if he insists on doing it. I mean, they could go to him and talk to him. He's 13 years old. He's not a baby. They could go to him and talk to him and tell him their concerns. And then if he opts to continue to do that, then if he gets hurt or something, he's made that decision himself. But while he's at school and on the school grounds, they can watch for him and take care of him, and nothing should happen to him on the school grounds. I guess it would depend on how many kids were, you know, because I can know, knowing kids, they can be pretty nasty. And if you get five or 10 of them with an opinion, they can do great damage.
Okay, well, let me throw this out at you then, because part of the article says that there were some students and I think a few parents that complained about it. So, okay, all schools, or at least all public schools, have the American flag displaying, in their yard somewhere. Okay, so what if a couple's parents come up and say, you know, that offends me. I don't like the fact that the American flag is flying up there. Do we take it down?
More to the point, would be somebody coming in and saying, if you're going to fly the American flag, you've got to fly the Mexican flag or something else, in which case I would. But until you get so many flags up there in the front of the room that there's no room for kids anymore. But the thing is, you don't take anything down.
Well, what's the difference? I mean, I think this was a couple years back. In one of the Oregon DMVs, there was somebody there flying the Mexican flag, and it was higher than the American flag, which, from what I understand, is an insult.
I guess I have to be a little different because I don't consider it an insult as to what flag is higher than the other flag. I don't really think that's any difference. If you want to build a flagpole that's taller and pay for it, then you can fly it anywhere you want to. Now, if they go in there and say, I want to fly the flag above on the same pole, then you can just say no. But if they want to do another flagpole and it's higher, then that's up to them building the flagpole. And I don't think – see, this gets pretty petty as far as I'm concerned. Flags are not a big thing and as far as they are and they aren't. And –
well, it's what they represent. I mean, but, you know, should there be, especially like a DMV, which is a government office, should there be any other country's flag flying there at all?
I don't think it makes any difference. I really don't. And as long as it doesn't cost the DMV, that office, any money to have that flag up there, that's what I'm saying. If somebody wants to put another flag up there, then they can erect a pole and they can put a flag on it. and they can maintain it, and they can run it up and down every day or whatever they do. But it's as long as somebody else maintains it and somebody else pays for it, as long as it doesn't detract from the business at that DMV. And it shouldn't be a big thing. It's just not something we should be worrying about. We should be worrying about the fact that it's costing us $100 and some odd to get new license plates, for God's sakes. That's the ridiculous part.
Yeah.
We've gone from what, $20 to $100 and something, and it's just out of line. It's out of sight, we've got to work on where our money is being spent and not being spent, and why certain things have, you know, why are they taking money away from the Social Security recipients, the people who need it the most, and not from government employees? Government employees make 60% more than civilian employees already, and we haven't taken any money away from them, but we're taking it away from the people on a fixed income who can't afford it, and this is ridiculous.
I want to be a government employee.
Well, so do I now. Everyone does. And here, that's the thing. Look at it. It's not been 60% very long, and it's getting higher because that's one of the things that they did with this big bailout thing. The government hired people, so that the more and more people are government employees. You can't all be government employees. Somebody has to pay taxes, goddammit.
Well, and also, I think that because the state the state of Oregon is actually one until it made the talk shows that was going to create it's known for creating positions, including a Klingon translator. But here's a position that I'm proposing. I think the state of Oregon needs a couple internet talk show hosts. And if you're interested, call us up, 646-721-9887, or send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And, well, I don't know. What do you think? $100,000 a year to start?
At least.
So we're for hire if anybody in the state would like to hire a couple talk show hosts for the internet.
Well, we should have a state talk show. We should have a state talk show. It can be on several radio stations, no problem at all, because this is the government, and we can just go in and say, okay, we want 2 hours every Friday morning or every morning, and for this state talk show.
Well, you pay me $100,000 a year. We'll do it daily, and we'll talk about the – well, let's see. We're deciding on different type and color of toilet paper this week. And
think of the good things we could do. People, here's a way for people to let the government know what they want. Here's a way for people to let Kitzhaber know what they want. And what an ideal situation. And we're, of course, ideally suited to do this.
Well, in fact, on that same line, by the way, our new governor, Kitzhaber, which has a YouTube site and his own site and is asking for people's input, I sent him an email saying, hey, here's a good way to get direct two-way conversation from the people you represent. Instead of getting filtered through the news media and instead of hearing that, well, people want this, which how many times, Cliff, have you heard on the news, well, the American people want this, and you've never been asked. And it's totally opposite about what you, as an American person, really want.
And it's totally opposite of what any American has ever said, because these people on the news, all of the newscasts now, they are not reporting the news. They are interpreting the news. We don't have reporters anymore. We only have commentators.
This just in on Twitter. Yeah. And that's the news for the night.
Yeah, the thing is, this just in on Twitter, they tell you what's in on Twitter, and then they tell you what it means.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that.
And just the opposite is, measure 37, people are against it, but some people are for it. Okay, great. I love it. What's measure 37? I don't know, but some people are for it.
Yeah. And some people get frustrated. I know somebody that when they just voted, just went down and marked no on all of the measures. Just didn't pay any attention to them. Just marked no. I mean, they didn't want to take time to read them, didn't want to take time to try to figure them out. So they just marked no.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a real indication of what the public wants.
And I think that's what happened to Oregon.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But we've got to do something about this business of government employees making so much more than civilian employees.
And let's work with them.
Well, even if I'm a government employee,
focus on that one.
No. Even if I'm a government employee, I'll forego some of that money.
Okay, you hire me as a government employee for $100,000 a year, and I'll gladly give up 10% of that.
There you go. So will I.
I'll make the sacrifice right now. Hire me, $100,000 a year. I'll give up 10%, and
that's $1,000 a year, you know.
That's all right.
And when you think about it,
it'll be tough, but I'll somehow muddle through it.
Yeah, it's what, $95 a month.
Yeah.
If I'm making $100,000 a year, I won't miss $95 a month. Let me tell you. The other thing that I think we should do too at this point is just forego the raises. I mean, that's not even something that you have. You're not going to miss it because it was never there. But I know everybody is budgeting next year for the raise, but we should just forego the raises, all government raises, state, city, federal. That would save a huge amount of money.
Exactly. But anyway, to kind of get back on topic a little bit, though, about a couple examples. The one about the drawing, I just kind of stumbled on it as I was doing research for today's show. And that's just two examples this year about what's going on. I mean, this is just stuff that just happens to make the news. What about the stuff that doesn't make the news?
Yeah.
I mean, where is our country going that people are offended for displaying the patriotism?
Well, see, and that's where we need to have a government, a state talk show, because we need to have something that's not moderated. Every talk show host out there that I know of is busy giving their opinion of things, and we need to have someone who's it's maybe either two or three moderators like you and me, so that each has different opinions, and we can, at least we aren't tainting every possible statement.
That's right. Point and counterpoint. You remember that one?
Uh-huh.
Anybody in the States, email us talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll work something out. You know, $100,000 there each.
And if you want to email us something that's of importance that you want the government to know, state or federal, email it to us and we'll send it along.
That's right.
We'll do that for free.
Yeah, it may not make any impact, but
well, you never know either.
That's
you know,
true. You never know. Who knows? I sent Kulongoski or
Kitzhaber.
Kitzhaber. I'm going to get that mixed up. I just got it. Anyway.
Always. I know.
Our new coming governor, because I'm used to calling Kulongoski Ted Tax and gouge me. Or Sleepy Tim. I'm just going to come up with a new name for. Actually, somebody else had. They're calling him the Recycled Governor.
Recycled Governor.
But, who knows? He might respond, but I really have my doubts. But anyways, back to point, though. I can say this. The thing with the flag is just a small example. I was very proud of people, especially the large number of people, 300 to 500 people who came from all over the nation,
yes,
to support this kid and basically send the message that, you know, we're tired of the PC group. We are tired of bending over. This is America. We are proud of our country, and we're tired of apologizing for it.
Yeah, it's about time we get back to being America, because we've lost a lot of this, and everybody is preaching to us that that's bad to be patriotic. Well, that's silly. That's absolutely silly.
Right.
I mean, we don't need to get stupidly carried away with it. But on the same token, there's no reason we shouldn't show our opinion either.
Exactly. I mean, you can still be from another country per se, and still have your culture, but also, if you're going to live in the country that you chose to be your home, whether you came through the front door or not, you should support that country and its ideals. Let me clarify that. Okay. Let's say the country's under attack. All right?
Okay.
Yeah. Whether you came through the front door or not, it's your home. Should you defend it? if it's under attack?
Well, to be honest with you, you can't.
Why?
Because if you came through the back door, because you're not a citizen, and so you're not going to be, you don't have to be a citizen to join the Army, do you?
I don't know if you do or not, but if we have an armed invasion force inside our borders, you know, it's going to take more than just the military to defend us. I mean, it's going to take individuals, and there's a lot of guns here that, you know, but it's going to take everybody getting together.
Well, it depends how big the invasion is, yeah. But,
yeah, exactly.
But you've got to understand, you know, we went through this once before, and you know what we did? We interned the Japanese into camps.
Yeah, but...
And that's what will happen again.
Well...
That's bad. It's
bad, yeah. It is bad.
I
mean, just like with the TSA, you know, we locked the barn after the horse got out. It was a panic that, you know, they assumed all Japanese at the time were bad. But on the other side of the coin...
On the other side, wait a minute, before you say that, I mean, we didn't know if they were bad or not. So it's easier and cheaper to stick them in a jail and then work it out than it was to try to figure out. We were busy fighting a war. We didn't have time to check each Japanese person and see if they were friendly or not and then prove it. So it was easier just to put them away and then worry about it after the war was over.
Yeah, but if I remember my history correctly, we had warnings that the attack was coming. Our radar detected the planes coming, and nobody took it seriously. And basically, they took advantage of the sleeping giant.
And they will again.
And they will again. I mean, look how open our borders are right now and how easy it is for somebody to get in here. We can't even protect our own country from people coming through the side door. How are we going to protect it if there's actually a real serious armed invasion?
Well, that's another story entirely, because we've got to stop protecting other countries and take the time and money to protect ourselves. We're spending way more protecting other countries than we are taking care of our own borders. We spend probably 10 times as much on other countries as we do on ourselves. So that's another problem. You want to talk about patriotism, I'll get it out, patriotism, and being able to carry the flag. We need to talk about patriotism and getting out of other countries and taking care of ourselves. We're allowing our country to die. We're allowing it to go bankrupt, and we're not doing anything about it. You know, we're sitting here worrying about cutting the money to the Social Security
recipient.
Yeah, them. And,
those people.
And we're spending all this money overseas. We've got to get our priorities straight, and they aren't there. Here's the thing. We had this election, and the balance of power, so to speak, has changed somewhat. You better watch and see what happens, because unless we actually get this economy turned around in the next 2 years, you're going to really see a defiance, I think, in 2014. Obama will have to hide, not win. He'll have to hide, and all the rest of those Democratic people, because they're going to get real upset. And people are going to, boy, you thought this was something. You ain't seen nothing.
Yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, though, now granted, this last election, I'll be honest with you, except for Oregon, I think really sent a message that people are fed up, and now they're, you know, the Democrats is trying to negotiate with the Republicans. Can we all just work together? But they still don't get it.
Well, Obama is the one who doesn't get it. His idea of working together is, you agree with me.
Yeah. But, you know, like Cody's father was saying, if you remember the 9/11 attacks, there were people that were so upset that all TV channels were preempted because our country was under attack and we didn't know how big the attack was, that they couldn't watch their soap operas. We become so isolated from the real world that we're more concerned about our television programs than we are the fact that, you know, fortunately there was only just a couple of planes and it didn't go bigger than what it was.
Now, you see, I have to take a different. Everybody's going to hate me now, but that wasn't a big attack. That wasn't a big thing. It turned into a big thing because the stupid buildings fell down. That was the problem of the guy who built the buildings. If they had just ran two airplanes into the buildings and they just stayed up there and burned a couple of floors, which should have happened, then it would have been a big thing, but not that big a thing. But to have the two buildings, the two largest buildings in the country or very close to it, fall down because of it was an accident. That wasn't what they expected to happen at all, and played right into the terrorists' hands because of that. But we should not have placed such a huge, huge emphasis on that happening, because we've had other happenings. Look at the Oklahoma, the building there. That, and in fact, the two Twin Towers, they'd had a couple of years before that, they had been had bombs in the base.
Let me throw this out to you, though. Okay, what if they had planned it on a bigger scale? In other words, went ahead and targeted one plane, say, for the capital of each state at the same time.
Well, first of all, that would be very hard to do because you've got to commandeer 50 planes. And if that had happened, can you imagine the logistics of making that work? It was hard enough to get four of them going
exactly.
And do the thing.
But so it's coordinated, and that was the point and that they did, is that doing it all at the same time, there's mm-hmm. no way we could defend ourselves. And especially doing it for the commercial airlines, it was just, under the radar, literally.
Again, and I'm not saying that I accept this, but I don't think it would do that much damage. I mean, if you're going for each Capitol building, how many people are in those Capitol buildings? Way more than we want to kill, but on the same token, it's not a real big thing. It wouldn't disrupt the entire country.
No, but look at the message it would send in the news around the world. 50 capitals were destroyed on such and such date by terrorists.
It might send the message that we should be getting right now is to get off our dead butt, get out of the other countries, and protect ourselves.
Yeah. To heck with scanning. I'm not going to say what I was just going to say, but what I was thinking, but, quit punishing our citizens. Take it serious. And you're right. We got crisis over here, too. Quit playing around the world because we're vulnerable. I hate to say it. We're vulnerable.
We really are. The thing is, think about this. How did we stop people from smoking? We did it with advertising. We did it with television commercials and radio commercials. I don't think we'll do it in much better with the stupid pictures that they're going to put on cigarettes. But we did it with advertising and telling people smoking is bad for you in commercials. We need to tell people when you're in an airplane, be ready to protect yourself. Be ready to if there's two or three hijackers on an airplane, there's usually 60 or 70 or 150 other passengers on the airplane. All of you together can overtake the hijackers. That's just all there is to it.
And that's what happened on one of the flights.
I understand that, but we should be promoting that part on radio and television and then get rid of the pat-downs and all of the stuff that they're doing now at the airport and just let people on the freaking airplane.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just the same thing as the I can't remember which town it was. It might have been in Texas, where it's a law that you have to carry a firearm. I don't know if it's still a law, but I know that they passed it. And the theory was that if you are going to hold somebody up, to rob them in public or whatever, you pretty much know there's a good chance they're not armed. And you are, so you have the advantage over them.
Or at least you think you do.
Or at least you think you do. But if you know that the majority of the other people out there are able to defend themselves, don't you think you might want to think twice before doing something?
My only problem with that is then we're going to go back to the Wild West and we're going to have shootouts and all this kind of stuff. I think it will be exacerbated by that. I think we'll have more shootouts and have more people end up alongside the road dead.
Well, there goes the gang problem.
No. Yeah, I disagree with you entirely about gangs. You know what gangs are. Gangs are societies or communities work. Ours are not. In other words, if we have a town like Cottage Grove, and as a community, we do very little. In the city of Cottage Grove, if you have a city meeting, you get maybe 12 people out of 10,000. We don't have gangs here, but gangs have almost full participation on almost everything they do.
And well, so gangs there, they're just so old that they're using walkers.
Well, that's true.
And it kind of gives people an idea of Cottage Grove. It used to be a one-horse town until the horse died.
Be nice. I live here. But the thing is, gangs are our failure, not their success. Because if you've got a gang in a community, there's a whole lot more people live in that community than are in that gang. And so consequently, if we aren't stopping the gang, if we aren't taking over the gang and putting up a fight, then that's our idiotic fault. We are the ones that are too lazy to do anything about it except wait for the government to fix it. And that's what we've got to stop doing, is waiting for the government to fix anything.
Exactly. And what's really sad, though, and this kind of goes along with today's theme, is that there was a time, and I still believe in my heart that I'm going to sound like Glenn Beck here in a minute, except I'm not going to whine.
You sound too much to Ben, like Glenn Beck, and I'm going to say goodbye. I'm so sick of him.
That when the American people pull together, you know, like we do in a crisis, you know, whenever it's like Katrina or anything else, when there's a crisis, people come out of the woodwork to pull together. If, like you say, don't rely on the government, and we're allowed or insist on pulling together, there's a lot we can do to fix this.
Oh, yes. We can fix anything. The American public, the American people are smart enough, even the dumb ones, we can fix anything because we have enough of them. But the simple thing is, we've gotten really lazy. We don't want to do anything more than go to work and come home and watch the game that night or American Idol or whatever we're watching. And so we leave it to somebody else to do. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. The government is not supposed to take care of absolutely everything. We do have a military so that they can take care of the major things. And that's where it's supposed to stop. We need to get rid of whole bunches of these laws and everything and take back our country.
Okay, I think I know how to do it. You just hit it. All right, people don't care about the country. They don't care that they're starting to care, but they don't care that we have porous borders. They don't care that the government's doing this. They don't care about that, but they do care about football. If you threaten football, then people are going to be up in arms, especially here in Eugene. It's like, oh, my God, if you want to create a riot, say that you're an anti-duck.
Oh, I know. And it isn't just in Eugene. When I first came here, people used to ask me or used to make some sort of a comment about the Ducks, and I would tell them I'm a Beavers fan, and they about ran me out of McDonald's one day.
Yeah,
because I was a Beavers fan.
In fact, I do want. Now, this is one of my pet peeves, and I know people aren't going to like me for this. Okay. One thing I've been tired of for a long, long time. I'm not in the sports. I'm sorry, never have been. But for one thing, does every AM channel here have to be the voice of the Ducks? In fact, it's even on the FM music channels now. If there's a game, it's all over the radio, all over just about every channel, and you can't find. Something else to listen to. I mean, how many channels do you, especially on the FM music channels, like KZEL, does it have to be repeated on?
See, I don't understand that, because the radio stations pay a lot of money to have the rights to broadcast the game. Now, you got to understand that there's more games than just the Ducks. There's tons of games going on, so they may not all be Ducks, but there can only be one station with the Ducks.
Well, whatever, it's Ducks or whatever.
Yeah.
The whole point is that, you know, sports and all channels, they even did that on satellite radio, you know, that you're paying a subscription to. But that's just my pet peeve anyways. Yeah, last 4 minutes in the show, people, 646-721-9887. And, you know, again, you can send us an email here. And
I have a question.
Yes.
Totally. Patrick Florian Simile, 61, threatened a bomb in front of the federal building or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know, we've got to know more about this. I want to know if he's a terrorist. Is he actually a terrorist, or is he mentally ill? I think he may have been a terrorist, and we need to do something about that. We're getting terrorists right in the city of Eugene.
Okay.
And we're not supposed to have them in Eugene.
Give a 30-second summary on what happened.
Well, he pulled his van up in front of and that's actually a stolen van, by the way. He pulled his van up in front of the post office and then called the post office and threatened to bomb them. And Beth Ann Steele, an FBI spokeswoman, says that Smoley was initially lodged into the Lane County Jail on accusations of disorderly conduct. That's all it was disorderly conduct. But they did charge him federally because he used a telephone to do this. The only way they could get him was because he used a telephone. That's got to be ridiculous. If we're worried about Homeland Security, there's got to be charges in there that they can do with getting, but we've got to find out why. And I don't know if we're going to get to hear about that.
Got any information, folks? Send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
Right.
And I'm going to end the show here with a little audio clip and encourage people to again send us comments, emails, and tune in next Friday. And if you have any examples of like the people being offended over the flag, please send me a link or an email regarding that. I'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely, we need to actually push a whole charge against this.
Exactly.
Because that's the flag thing. It's we need to respect all flags, not just one. What do you got to play?
What so proudly we hail as the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight all the world what we watch were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare burned on their sticks. Gave proof to the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that sound faithful?
to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.